Hello and welcome to the podcast of Vineyard Church here in Maryville, Tennessee. We post our Sunday messages here each week, as well as our conversations episodes, which include interviews, special announcements, and in-depth teaching. You can visit vineyardchurch.us to learn more about us or to access the audio archive. You can also subscribe to this podcast on Spotify, Apple, or Google Podcasts. And now, here's the episode.
Well, good morning. I want to say something really quick about what Sharon mentioned with the budgeting class. It's September 14th and 21st during the 11 o'clock hour. It's going to be in the next step room. Just to give you some reference as to why this is so important to me, my wife and I were married 25 years ago next month, which is an awesome thing for her because she made it that long. But anyhow, when we got married, we realized that combined, we were $79,000 in debt. Student loans, car loans, credit cards, all that stuff, those crazy young decisions that we make sometimes with our finances. And so we realized that we needed to get on a budget, we needed to figure out where we were spending our money, and we did that. And it took a while. It took 7 years for us to get rid of our debt. But because we were on a budget and we stuck to it, it enabled us now over the years to use our generosity to help others, to help the church and just different things like that. I say all that to say, if you have any questions about finances, if you've never done a budget before, if you find yourself in debt, this is a great little basic budget class to be a part of, and we would like to help you out. I know sometimes you feel a little bit embarrassed to be a part of a class like that. You're the only one feeling that, let me tell you what. I felt like that too, but truly nobody else is feeling that towards you. So I would encourage you, register for the class. Once again, it's September 14th. And 21st. Okay, so from time to time, I get the opportunity to teach here on Sunday mornings, and many times it's what we like to call a one-off type of sermon, meaning that there's no series that goes along with this sermon. It just kind of stands on its own. And normally when this happens, what I like to do personally is teach on a subject matter that comes up in a lot of conversations that I have with many of you that I get to meet up with. Maybe there's a theme that occurs again and again with multiple people that I come across, just different ones of you dealing with the same things in life. And so when I get to the end of a coffee meeting or a lunch meeting or a dinner meeting, notice the theme of food that goes along with my meetings, I like to ask, how can I be praying for you? By the way, I would encourage you, when you sit down with someone, whether it's a family member, whether it's a friend, a coworker, and you're having that cup of coffee, it's an absolutely great question to ask someone. Because in my over 30 plus years of walking with Christ, there has never been a person that has not answered that question. All right. It might put them on the spot for a second to try to figure out what their answer will be, but eventually they will answer how you can be praying for them. So the next time you sit down with someone, just ask them, how can I be praying for you? It's a great conversation starter. It's a great relationship building technique. Oh, and then pray for them. That's an important thing too. Don't just walk off away from the table and never do it. Actually, pray for them. So I hear quite a few different prayer requests, but one that I recently have been hearing from multiple ones of you out there again and again, I would say especially over the last year, is I'm asked to pray for God's protection. Whether it's the person that I'm talking to one-on-one, whether they're asking for protection over their spouse. I get a lot of, please pray for protection over my kids, parents, grandparents, whomever it might be. And it could be protection from the enemy, from Satan himself. It could be specific things that either the person or their loved ones are going through physically. emotionally, spiritually. There's some sort of hardship, some sort of suffering that they're dealing with. And so the prayer is that God would protect them from the pain of what they are dealing with, to shield them in a way from the pain altogether. I myself, whether it's because I've been preparing for this sermon or just the circumstances of my own life, I found myself in instances where I've been praying to God for protection, whether it's a quick, on-the-spot type of prayer or whether it's an ongoing prayer that lasts days, weeks, even months. My daughter Hannah runs cross-country for Alcoa High School. And a few weeks ago, she had a practice run to do on her own of about 5 or 6 miles. At the same time, if you recall a couple of weeks ago, it was 95 to 100 degrees outside every single day. And as a father, I'm pretty protective of Hannah running in heat like that. I know I get up here sometimes, and I love to talk about running and how much running is awesome, but running in 100 degree heat is a little bit on the crazy side. So the options were for her to wake up at 6 a.m. and go on a run, or wait until evening time when it's a little bit cooler. Well, she's a teenager, so running at 6 a.m. on a Saturday was quickly taken off the table. And so she was looking at running at the end of the day. And so the day continues on. There's still no announcement as to when her run is going to commence. Pretty soon it's starting to get dark outside, still nothing. Finally, at 9:15 p.m., my wife comes into the room and says, "We're going to the Greenway for her to run. I'm going to ride my bike behind her." And then she asked the question, "The Greenway is lit, correct?" So after every terrible thought that could possibly ran through my head, I said yes, not really truly knowing if that was 100% correct about all places of the Greenway, but I trusted that my wife, on a mountain bike, with the protective mama attitude that she has, could fend off a would-be attacker at a moment's notice. Now, normally I would go to bed at around 9, 9:30 on a Saturday in preparation for being here on Sunday morning. But instead, that night, I found myself, for the next hour and a half, on my knees, praying to God that he would protect my wife and kid while they were out doing this, praying and constantly watching Life 360 to see where along the Greenway they were, where if you're a parent, you know the angst that can be, because why haven't they moved for the last 2 minutes? You know, why won't this app update their location along the way? So just praying and praying and praying for God to protect them. Another quick example, a little more longevity to this prayer of protection. I had a close friend from my past go through an absolute heart-wrenching year a couple of years back. First off, he went through a terrible divorce, which I won't divulge any details, but just know it was a rough one. As he was dealing with the final details of that divorce, his father, whom he was extremely close to, died of a heart attack. And all that happened 2 years after his mother had passed from cancer. Then a month after his father passed, his 27-year-old daughter, basically the one family member that he had left by his side, received and accepted an incredible offer to work for a job in Japan. But it took her away from him, and she still lives there currently. So in basically a 2 to 3 month long span of time, this incredible family unit was taken away from him, and it sent my friend into like a spiral of depression to the point that my prayers for him turned towards prayers of protection for him, protection spiritually, that he would cling to his relationship with the Lord, as well as protection, you know, physically, that he wouldn't harm himself in any way. It was getting to be that rough. In fact, some of the scriptures that we're going to be looking at this morning from Psalm 91 is scriptures that I shared with him over the phone or through texting. He lives on the other side of the country. Now, to put your mind at ease, my wife and kid made it home safely that night, so no worries there. They're here this morning. And my friend is doing much better in his life now. He enjoys visiting his daughter over in Japan a couple of times a year. But I say all that to say this: we find ourselves praying for God's protection often, whether it's for ourselves or for our loved ones. And I've heard many of requests from some of you. So let's talk about God's protection this morning. How does God protect his people? What does God's protection truly mean for us? And what should our expectations be when we pray to God for his protection? Now, my hope this morning is that you will all walk away not only with a sense of protection from the Lord, but that you would actually feel secure in his protection. Now, I could go to many different places in Scripture. I could take you to the story of Daniel in the lion's den. That's a good one. I thought about talking about the Passover story. But my prayers led me to a different scripture, and it's the one that Aaron shared the first two verses with you this morning, and that's Psalm 91. So if you got your Bibles with you, you can turn to Psalm 91 or your Bible app, whatever it is that you use. Now, we don't have time this morning to hit all 16 verses, but we'll go through what we can. And as we go through this psalm, I think it's going to be pretty obvious that God and how he protects and who he protects is the major theme of Psalm 91. Scholar after scholar love not only the beauty that's written in this psalm, but see it as one of the more positive and more confidence-boosting psalms in all of the Bible because of its theme. Simon DeMew, who in his commentary about Psalm 91, he wrote this: "It would not be difficult to persuade the reader that we have no poem in either Greek or Latin that is comparable to this Hebrew ode." So it's highly positive and an overall joyful psalm for us to be looking at. And it's written to bring us confidence and to bring us hope in our God. So no better place to start than verse 1 and 2. That these are the verses that Aaron read. Here we go. "He who dwells in the shelter of the Most High will abide in the shadow of the Almighty. I will say to the Lord, my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust." Now, I love scripture that does one of these two things. It either describes who our great God is, or it describes how God interacts in our lives. So I want us to first notice the quote-unquote protection words from these two verses, or the metaphors of protection that we see that speak toward God and how he protects. So first we see that our God is a shelter. He's a shelter. So think of a home, a building, a structure that's going to keep us safe from certain hardships of life, whether it's weather and storms, whether it's extreme heat or cold, whether that's wild animals, whatever the case might be, right? So he's a shelter. We also see a shadow metaphor in here. And when I think of a shadow, I think maybe shade from a hot sun, but even all the more we think of a hiding place from danger, from someone that's trying to get at us so we might hide in the shadows to stay away. If we look at the names of God in verse 1 there's two names, Most High and Almighty. These refer to the strength and the authority that God has to protect in the ways that Psalm 91 is talking about. We then drop down to verse 2. We find further words of protection. God is our refuge. He is our fortress, meaning that in his presence and in his protection, we find rest, we find strength, we even find replenishment in those times. The blessings of God's protection that are spoken of in this psalm are for every believer who will do a very special thing. And it's written here in verse 1, and that's dwell in the shelter of the Most High. Dwell in the shelter of the Most High. Now, what does that mean? As believers in Christ, we have not only received the invitation to enter the gates of God's salvation chamber, but we are actually to come and take up residence there. So it's not just this visit from time to time with God, and then we return to where we came from, like we're going to our grandparents' house at Christmas time. This is an actual residence change. It's an address change for our lives. We've taken up a new residence. Our lives are with and for Christ now. So we have new life, and we've been given new purpose in this life. In essence, we are His. And if that saving grace has come into your life, if your address has changed to be the shelter of the Most High, I want you to notice the boldness that you can now take when speaking to others about the Lord when you say, He is my refuge and fortress. He is my God. It's in Him I trust. I want you to hear the difference between simple truth and wisdom versus owning the truth and wisdom. The difference between saying the Lord is a refuge and fortress versus the declaration as children of the Most High, the Lord is my refuge and my fortress. He is my God. Yes, we're boasting, but as Paul says in his writings, we're boasting in the Lord, so that's an okay thing, right? And so we can walk in confidence just from these two verses that God can and will protect us as we run to shelter under His wings. So what exactly will He protect us from, and how will He protect us? Well, verses 3 through 8 speak about this. For He will deliver you from the snare of the fowler and from the deadly pestilence. He will cover you with His pinions, and under His wings you will find refuge. His faithfulness is a shield and buckler. You will not fear the terror of the night, nor the arrow that flies by day, nor the pestilence that stalks in darkness, nor the destruction that wastes at noonday. 1,000 may fall at your side, 10,000 at your right hand, but it will not come near you. You will only look with your eyes and see the recompense of the wicked. So what is it that God is protecting us from? Well, first we see the snare description here. And a snare is describing like a trapped predicament that we might feel we're in lives. You feel like you can't escape whatever it is that's going on in your life. You feel like you're in a never-ending saga. Addiction can feel this way, whether it's alcohol, drugs, pornography, whatever it might be. Maybe you're in an abusive relationship, whether it's physical or emotional, and you feel like you can't escape from it. We are delivered from the snare of the fowler. The fowler is that predator. He is that enemy, that attacker. The picture that I always think of is like a baby bird all by itself in a nest, and there's a hawk flying in circles above it, and you just feel that that baby bird's going to get attacked by that hawk at any moment, that the danger is just hovering all around. In verses 3 through 9, the writer describes a deadly pestilence, or a pestilence that stalks in the darkness. Commentators kind of agree that this could mean pretty much anything harsh, but some think it to refer to slanderous and evil words, and not just kind of mean words on the surface, but these are words that are not only meant to hurt, but to bring your life out of the light of God and into a place of deep and evil darkness. That's how evil these words can be. If that wasn't enough, you have the terror of the night, the arrow that flies by day, the destruction that wastes at noonday. In other words, these hard and evil and suffering things can happen at any moment, you know, day or night, whether you're at home, work, school, community, it's everywhere and it's all the time. And I know speaking to some of you, that's how you feel. It feels like the attacks just keep coming again and again and again against either you or the ones that you're closest to. But here's the thing about what this psalm is saying. As much as the enemy's attack is day and night, God's protection for us as His children is 24/7. And He's not going to let the snares, He's not going to let those fowlers, He's not going to let the deadly pestilence and the darkness overwhelm us. It's not going to destroy us when we set ourselves in the shadows of His wings, in the shelter of the Most High. Now, verse 4 says, He will cover us with His pinions. No, those are not the little yellow guys from the Despicable Me movies. These are pinions, which are the outmost wing feathers of a bird. All right, these are the feathers that the bird would use most in flight. They are the strongest feathers on the wings of the bird. They're strong, they're far-reaching, and they dictate the maneuvers when the bird is flying in the air. So the pinions being the outermost part of the wing tells us that God will reach to the greatest depths to cover us as he protects us. And he does it through his faithfulness. His faithfulness is the shield and the buckler. And the buckler is just a smaller shield that a soldier would put on his forearm to protect him when he was in close combat with someone. But all in all, this is what I'm hoping you're understanding. Our Lord's here to protect us. And God's going to go to the greatest lengths to protect his children from the destruction of the enemy. This spring, we had a family of birds nest in all places in the rocks out here in the parking lot. These are a couple of pictures of them. I think it was AJ Kale, one of our safety guys from our safety team, that did an awesome thing and placed those orange cones around the nesting area to try to keep them safe. I became enthralled with this nest. Not because the baby birds would be hatched. I've seen baby birds hatched in a nest before. It was because of something that the father bird did every single time I walked near that nest. As the mother bird was sitting on the nest, protecting the eggs, the father bird did this amazing thing. I wish I could have gotten it on video. When I would walk toward the nest, or anyone would walk toward the nest, he would walk away from the nest, and he would flap either one or both of his wings like he was injured in some way. And what he was doing in the moment was drawing the attention of a would-be predator, aka me, away from the nest and onto himself. To the point that there were times when he even played dead in the parking lot. And he did it all to keep the nest safe. It was just this incredible defense maneuver. I gotta say it worked. Because every time I walked up near that nest, the father bird would do his thing, and I didn't get closer to the nest. My focus shifted towards this father bird and wondering what his problem was. Why is he acting like that? And pretty soon I approached the nest. I didn't even care about the eggs anymore. I just wanted to see this bird do his thing. It was just absolutely incredible. And that's the depths of what that father bird would go to protect his children. And how much further do you think our Father God will go to protect us? If we will just take shelter in the Most High. Now, if you look further down, Psalm 91, it speaks of how God's protection actually becomes our offense against the enemy as well. So not just a defense maneuver, but a defense that leads to offense. Many commentators actually believe that this psalm was written, that the congregation of this psalm, it was written for Israel's army that is going into battle. So look, starting at verse 9, it says, "Because you have made the Lord your dwelling place, the Most High, who is my refuge, no evil shall be allowed to befall you, no plague come near your tent, for he will command his angels concerning you to guard you in all your ways. On their hands they will bear you up, lest you strike your foot against a stone." And now is where we see the defense turn to offense. "You will tread on the lion and the adder, the young lion and the serpent you will trample underfoot." So we just said that God protects his people through his faithfulness. So his faithfulness is not only our defense against our enemies and the evil of this world, it becomes our offense as well. His faithfulness becomes our faithfulness. You know, Jesus gave some incredible commands in his teachings. Things like, love your enemies and pray for those that persecute you. Do not resist the one who is evil, but if anyone slaps you on the right cheek, turn to him the other also. If anyone forces you to go 1 mile, go with him 2 miles. There's quite a few others. This concept of what you are to do when you're being hurt or dealing with suffering that others have brought your way in some way. So how do we find the strength to go to such lengths and to obey those kind of commandments? Because wouldn't it be easier for us to just strike back at our enemy? Right? It's by knowing that God is faithful, It's knowing that God protects us. And it's knowing that God is with us. See, how do we know that we're being protected by God? It's knowing and feeling God's presence surrounding us. I mean, think about it. Don't you feel more at peace sometimes, stronger, more confident, knowing that God is walking with you, that God is with you, knowing the Father is by your side, knowing that with him you are protected in moments? When my daughter Hannah was a baby and was maybe like a couple of years old, we would drop her off at the nursery of the church that we were attending. And she would see the toys and she would see the other kids and she would immediately just drop out of our arms and gone. You know, would she just, no goodbye, no kiss goodbye. She just wanted the toys and wanted to be with the other kids. So she was gone. Gene and I would head off to the worship service, and when we came back, one of us would go to the door to pick Hannah up, and she would see us there to pick her up at the door, and she would start to wail. She would just cry frantically. Now, you might think it was because mom and dad are going to take her away from the toys and take her away from the other children. Actually, not. She started crying, we realized, because she realized that this, for this last amount of time, however long it was, we weren't there with her. And she started realizing that we had left her. We weren't there to protect her, even though others were there to protect her, we weren't there. See, we feel most protected when we feel God's presence surrounding us. I love to stand or sit back in the sound booth during the music time of worship, and all of you are worshiping, and I'm not looking for people's hands to raise, even though that's an awesome thing, and I'm not looking for people to shout out the words of the worship song, even though that's an awesome thing. I'm not looking for guys like Dan Davis to jump up and down, even though that's a great thing. Here's what I'm looking for. I look for what I like to call the congregational sway. Now, here's what I mean, and none of what I'm about to say is biblical in any way and has any standing. It's just my 2-cent opinion. But sometimes when a certain song is played, you know, a certain chorus of a song, I'll watch, and all of a sudden, a few of you will just start swaying back and forth. You don't even know you're doing it in the moment. You will from now on, but you don't in the moment. And normally it might start in one little particular area, and then the people around those people start swaying with them, and then it just kind of spreads throughout the whole congregation. And it's awesome because I'm convinced that most of you don't even know that you're doing it. You just start swaying back and forth, and some of you are off rhythm. That's okay. Not all of us can have and understand what a beat is. But I'm convinced it's because in the moment, you're feeling God's presence surrounding you. And it's those moments where through faith, you not only feel God's presence, but you feel his protection through his presence. You feel secure in the shelter of the Most High. Hang on to that word secure, because we're going to come back to it here in a minute, because we need to address what might be the elephant in the room question when it comes to this subject matter of protection. And it's, Chris, if this is so true, if God's desire is to protect me, then why do I feel the constant attack of the enemy again and again and again? Why am I not feeling the protection of God? Why do I not feel safe? So first, let me say, legitimate question. Because let's be honest, in today's world, there are many times we don't feel safe. We wonder what might be lurking around the next turn. We wonder if someone's lurking in the dark on the greenway. And our enemy is ready to tempt us and hurt us. And he wants us and he wants our loved ones to turn from the Lord out of the fear that we might have. So we need and we want God's protection. It's okay to want to feel safe. But hear me closely now. It's not necessarily that God's protection will always shield us from injury and harm. It's not a protection that necessarily takes away all the bad stuff from our lives, right? There are going to be times when we don't feel safe, or those that are close to us that we're praying for, they still don't feel safe. Now, can God protect us and keep us safe like Daniel in the lion's den? I believe with all confidence, yes, he can. And we should pray for such things, right? Scripture is full of stories, Old and New Testament, of God protecting his flock in those moments. But there are moments in life where it doesn't happen that way. And the Bible speaks towards examples of that as well. There is hardship, there is suffering. Look at basically every one of Jesus' disciples and the early church and how they lived their lives and how their lives turned out or how they died. So what are we to think when the hard stuff comes? When we don't feel safe, we don't feel protected, or the ones that we prayed protection for, their circumstances don't change at all. Where are we to land with all that? Well, first, we need to ask ourselves the question, are we dwelling in the shelter of the Most High? Are we seeking life in Christ? Do we trust in God's unfailing love that Scripture talks about? So yes, it's important. We need to take a look at ourselves in the moment to really say, am I walking with the Lord? Do I look to Him to protect me and shelter me in those moments? But then it's also this, and I've heard Aaron teach this multiple times over the years and other great teachers like him that also teach this, and it's that God does not guarantee our safety. God does not guarantee our safety. He guarantees our security. We're not guaranteed our safety in this life, but the Bible is clear for those whose faith is in Christ, our security in Christ is guaranteed. I think most of us sitting here know that when we give our lives to Christ, it doesn't mean unicorns and rainbows all the time. That's not our experience. The Bible doesn't teach that. Hardship and suffering in this life is a realistic assurance. But if there's one thing that the Bible teaches us, it's that God knows our sufferings and is present in our sufferings. And his presence, as we've just said, is our protection. Psalm 56:8 tells us, "You have kept count of my tossings." That's our hardships and our sufferings. "Put my tears in your bottle. Are they not in your book?" I think of some of Paul's letters. Where were they written? In a jail cell. He's in the midst of enduring the worst suffering he could possibly endure. God's presence is with him in those times of hardship. He's there in that jail cell with Paul. And when suffering comes our way or comes to those that are close to us, God is with us and he is with them. His presence is our protection. And his protection is us knowing that our lives are secure in Christ, that he has us in the palm of his hand, and he has made a way for us in his kingdom now and in his kingdom to come. We talk a lot about it here at the Vineyard, and John Rawls spoke on this just a few weeks ago about the kingdom of God and the now and the not yet. If you want to learn more about it, I encourage you to register for the Next Step class in September because we're going to be talking about it. God's protection is the surety and security that we find through faith that God has prepared for us a place at his table in his kingdom for eternity. So in the midst of attack and pain and any suffering that comes from it, can God protect us? Can he halt the evil that is thrown at us? By all means, yes, he can. Pray for that protection for yourself and for others. Ask the Lord to send his angels to protect you and those around you. Does that mean we are immune from harm and the enemy can't bring trials into our lives? No. No, it doesn't. But God's protection also means he's made our lives secure through Christ, meaning what may harm us now will one day never be able to touch our lives, and hopefully the lives of those we're closest to, because we have a protector. His name is Jesus. And when your faith is in Christ, hear me, your life is protected because your life has been made secure in his name. This is our protection. And our response is, praise be to God. So we come to our time of Selah. And as we go into this, I have a question for us. When we see danger mounting against us or against someone close to us, do we seek the shelter of the Most High? Do we take refuge in our Lord who shelters us in the storm? Or do we kind of go a different direction and kind of rely on our own strength, on our own mind and our own intellect to try to get us through the hardships and the sufferings that we're dealing with? Do we not trust that God can and will protect us, whatever that protection might look like? And that's an important thing, because we may ask for protection. In the moment, God may be protecting us, but we may not recognize it as his protection because it's not the protection that we think he should be giving us. It looks different, right? But wouldn't you agree that God knows what he's doing? I think we all are 100% on that. So let's trust in the Lord and how he does things. Now, I don't mean to ever make it sound like this life, excuse my language, that this life just sucks, that the Christian life and the Christian walk is just suffering all the time and hardship and toils and, oh, it's just terrible. No way. The Christian life is the best life any single person on this planet could possibly live. The blessings and the joys that we receive from God are absolutely incredible. But with it comes the hard stuff. We know that just because we say yes to Jesus doesn't mean life becomes easy all of a sudden. If you think the enemy's just going to kind of lay off of you because we've said yes to Christ, think again. He's not happy. And so, yeah, the attacks are going to come at us. And if he can't get at us, guess what he's going to do? He's going to go after those that are closest to us to try to get to us. And so I want to remind you that for those who have put their faith in Christ, the sacrifice of the Son, Jesus, was made to secure our lives through this journey of life. It's a journey to a promised land. It's culminated at Christ's return, where the enemy will not be able to touch you again. I want to remind you of the invitation that God has given you through Jesus, the invitation to come, to take shelter under his protective wings, to abide in the shadow of the Almighty, to be confident that God is with you, and with his presence is his protection, and that protection is to feel the security that comes in your relationship with him. And so I invite you to ponder these truths this morning. And if you're here and you find yourself in a moment of doubt as to your security in God, as to God's protection for your lives or the lives of others around you, open up this psalm. Take a look at it. The words are so special, but they're also so truthful. He's with us, and he protects us. Thank you, Jesus. Let's just ponder those truths as we go forward.